May it please the court. My name is Bo Brindley and I represent the defendant appellant Joel Rivas. Mr. Rivas appeals the district court's decision to limit trial counsel's cross-examination of a fingerprint expert to the government such that the expert could not be confronted with specific instances in which his methodology failed. In this case, that was particularly an error and a problem because of the specific nature of the expert's testimony. During the testimony, the expert for the government stated that, based on his methodology, he was absolutely certain, and that's a quote, that these were the prints of Joel Rivas. The only way to effectively or meaningfully challenge such a strident certainty stated by an expert would be to point out to that expert and confront that expert with a report of which he was aware about a very notable case in which decorated members of his field used his methodology and the methodology produced flawed and completely inaccurate results. By not allowing...
What rule of evidence are we dealing with here?
Well, we're dealing with rule of evidence?
Yes. What rule of evidence are we dealing with here?
Well, I think we're dealing with
a... Did the district court rule the evidence inadmissible under Rule 702? Or was it excluded as cumulative and excessive under Rule 403? Or was some other rule in play?
Both were cited by the government at the time, Your Honor. And I can't say for certain as I stand here which provided the district court's ultimate basis.
Certainly didn't see in the district court's opinion any conclusion that this would be inadmissible under Rule 702. And had the defense put on an expert who wanted to testify to the weaknesses of the methodology, I assume that would have been admissible. This looks to me like a Rule 403 exclusion, but your brief never cites Rule 403, and you never discuss the standard of review applicable to a decision under Rule 403.
Your Honor, I don't see anything in the court's opinion that cites Rule 403 as the particular... I may be missing something, but I don't specifically recall that as being cited as the basis. What our appeal is brought on is on the basis of the Confrontation Clause of the United States. He has a right to effectively cross-examine and confront the witness. And when the witness makes the decision to say, I'm absolutely certain, and that witness at the same time knows of a report and a case when his methodology failed, then the only way to effectively cross-examine him on that is to present him and confront him with that specific finding and that specific report.
Why would an anecdote matter? It's like saying you have a witness who says, I was sure I was driving at a safe speed. I'm very confident of that. And you then propose to cross-examine him by showing that on some other occasion, someone else had an automobile accident.
Well,
why would that even tend to undermine the testimony that on this occasion, he was driving safely?
Well, first of all, I think it's different than as an expert witness because of the degree of certainty and the respect that jurors automatically give expert witnesses. But with respect even to the person who's driving the car, if he says, I'm absolutely certain that that I was driving at the speed limit, and you can show, well, on three other occasions, you thought you were certain of the same thing and
no,
you got it wrong.
The evidence that was excluded in this case had to do with what an error some other person had made.
Using the exact same methodology, right.
Exactly. But you agree that you couldn't, in a tort case, cross-examine one person by saying somebody else on a different occasion caused an accident.
If it was a lay witness, I agree. When it's a expert witness who's using a specific methodology that's being challenged, and that expert witness acknowledges that he knows about a report showing that his methodology that he's saying is absolutely certain failed, then I don't think that's the same at all, Judge. Respectfully, I don't think that's the same at all.
Of course, he was cross-examined and admitted that the fingerprint analysis wasn't 100% reliable. He also admitted it was possible that two partial prints weren't a match. So the bottom line is, you were able to cross-examine him on that point, and he admitted it. So you got to the evidence that you really wanted to present. It just didn't come in as part of the Mayfield situation.
Trial counsel was able to do that cross-examination Your Honor is describing. I think that the statement that the witness was absolutely certain was ultimately exacerbated in the problem made more difficult by the closing argument of the government, in which they went through this argument saying that fingerprint analysis has been used over the years all these times by the courts and suggesting an infallibility. I think that exploited the inability to challenge that infallibility with the Mayfield case. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Friendly. Ms. Cicella?
May it please the court, my name is Erica Cicella and I represent the United States. The district court did not violate the defendant's Sixth Amendment right to confrontation and rather exercised its broad discretion in limiting the cross-examination of the expert in this case. There was no violation here in part because the limitation did not prevent the jury from evaluating the expert witness's testimony. The expert testified as to his methodology in this case, how he employed that methodology, and its limitations. And as the court just pointed out, defense counsel was allowed to cross-examine the expert at length about the limitations of the methodology and elicited that partial prints of two individuals could in fact match and result in a misidentification, and that fingerprint analysis is not 100% foolproof. According to defense counsel, those statements were the goals of the cross-examination on the Mayfield line, and those goals were accomplished through defense counsel's cross. There was also no violation of the defendant's Sixth Amendment rights, right to confrontation, because the testimony sought was largely immaterial and marginally relevant. As the court noted, these were specific details that were sought to be elicited about another case, a different fingerprint examiner who was applying the same methodology and came to a different result. To allow defense counsel to go into the specifics of the Mayfield case would have undoubtedly added length to the trial and potentially introduced confusion for the jury. And finally, there was no error in this case, but had there been an error, it's harmless, given the overall strength of the government's case against the defendant. Here, the jury heard evidence tying this defendant to the storage unit where the drugs and the guns were recovered, including two former drug customers of the defendant, one of which testified that he gave the gun in question, the 9mm where the fingerprint was recovered from, to the defendant to settle a drug debt. And the defendant himself, in fact, testified that he had that he was tied to the unit, had done drug deals with these two particular drug customers, marijuana, admittedly, by the defendant. He did not admit to cocaine deals, but nonetheless admitted to being a drug dealer with these customers and was at the unit on a daily basis. For all of those reasons, the district court did not abuse its discretion in limiting the cross-examination. There was no Sixth Amendment right to confrontation error, and unless the court has further questions, we would ask that you affirm the jury's conviction and the sentence in this case.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Cicilla. Mr. Brindley, want another minute?
Yes, sir. Thank you. With respect to the question of whether there was indeed error, while some cross-examination was allowed, in light of the totality of the evidence and the government's argument with respect to sort of the infallibility of fingerprint analysis, I think it made it the case that effective confrontation required the presentation of the Mayfield case. In terms of harmlessness, if the court deems that there was error, pursuant to Van Arsdale, what must be done is we must assume the full potential of the cross-examination that was excluded. In that case, that would be disregarding the fingerprint analysis, and I don't think there's any sense in which one could say the verdict would be undisturbed with any confidence in the situation where the fingerprint evidence wasn't part of this case. It was a fundamental and probably the most important part of the case. So with that...
So is it your argument that the fingerprint evidence should have been excluded?
No, Your Honor. Only that the expert should have been confronted with the specific facts about the Mayfield case in response to his claim of absolute certainty and confidence in his methodology.
Well, was any evidence introduced concerning the reliability of fingerprint evidence?
There was cross-examination on the reliability of fingerprint evidence. Trial counsel did not present the defendant's own fingerprint expert to discuss it. I mean,
presumably there are statistics on the accuracy of fingerprint evidence.
There are, Your Honor.
I mean, suppose there's a 1 in 1,000 chance that this fingerprint evidence was invalid. That wouldn't affect the outcome, would it?
If there was a 1 in 1,000 chance that the fingerprint evidence in this case was invalid, it wouldn't. Right. It might, in the mind of a particular juror, depending on what the statistics are.
No, that wouldn't make sense. 1 in 1,000.
One in a thousand is still. It's still, in my opinion, that would be a more significant probability than I would be comfortable with as a juror. But other jurors may have a different position.
Oh no, no, that wouldn't make any sense at all. No one would be convicted on that, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the position I'm trying to advance, Your Honor. Thank you.
So you were appointed, Mr. Brindley?
No, Your Honor. I was retained by Mr. Rivas' family.
Well, we thank you anyway.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And we thank Ms. Cecilla as well. So our last case for argument is Ohio National Life Assurance Company versus Davis.
No, we need to take a break.
Pardon?
Change the
page. Oh, I'm sorry.